Welcome to Career Tools. This is Sarah.
And I'm Mark.
Today's podcast, 360 Reviews, Providing Input, Part 2 of 2.
This guidance answers these questions. What should I say about my manager in a 360 review? Can I be truthful in a 360-degree review? And should I lie in a 360-degree review?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Want to stand out at work this year? Well, our Effective Communicator and Effective Manager Conference can teach you how to influence others, deliver results, and navigate tough workplace challenges. Thousands of professionals have used these tools to grow their careers. See upcoming dates at manager-tools.com/training. Now, we're going to talk about avoiding negatives completely if the survey that you're completing is not regular, external, and anonymous. Now, these three words, regular, external, and anonymous, we might even call them REA as a short form abbreviation when we're doing it. These are the standards that we recommend every manager apply to their 360 process, the process that the firm is asking them to contribute, that is. And we're going to define these three criteria in a moment here and ensure that you can determine whether or not the survey you're being asked to complete meets these standards, and thus whether or not you have the ability, by our estimation, to take any risk whatsoever. But if it doesn't meet the standard, again, Horstman's Law of Career Candor tells us to stay quiet. And therefore, we recommend no rankings below average, which is the 3 on the Likert scale,
neutral,
right? The neutral.
Average, yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the event that we cannot verify that our survey is regular, external, and anonymous. And maybe in a more open situation, you'd give a 4 or a 2, depending on which one is good or bad. But if you can't know regular, external, and anonymous, it's better to stick with all neutrals, all threes.
Yeah. We've passed from the quantitative into the qualitative. Now we're going to talk about written comments. And our guidance is for you to especially be careful and water down your written comments. This is perhaps the biggest danger area. Why? Because we promise you, your boss will read every single negative comment and then attempt to determine who said what about him or her. Now, we know, guys, we know it doesn't give us any joy to do this. We know you think we're being overly cautious. Take solace in two things. First, we're being cautious with your career. So you're welcome.
Exactly. And second, folks, it's been our experience that every manager, every single manager who is given a 360 does three things. One, they focus immediately on the negatives. Then they read the negative comments. And then they immediately attempt to determine who said what negative thing about them. And that's a lot of experience, folks. That's like 60 years of combined experience.
I've seen 10,000 of them.
Yeah. The anecdotal evidence is overwhelming. Every manager flips to the written comments and then immediately starts thinking about who might have said what. And folks, unless your relationship is unbreakable with your manager, which it very likely isn't, any negative written comments that you put on their 360 put you at risk. You can't write differently. You can't disguise who you are. Your manager is going to know that you did it and you're at risk.
Yeah, this cast originally went out many years ago.
2009, I think.
Yeah, that's what, 15 years nearly. It's 16 years.
And 360s were less prevalent than that they are now.
Yeah, the prices have come down.
Yeah.
In the very beginning, but that it was long before 2009 that they were involved at the executive level, at the highest executive levels. By the way, I have been asked about this guidance many, many times, and I have made a joke. And so I'll make that joke now. I said, if you really want to write something negative, here's what I want you to do. I want you to write it in English on your phone or on a web browser. Use a translation tool, translate it into German or French, and then, or Spanish, and then translate it back. And if it is grammatically, syntactically very different, stilted in a way. By the way, folks, I'm not suggesting you do that. If you're German, French, or Spanish speaking as your first language, don't do that. I'm talking about English as a first language, folks. And if it reads distinctly differently, I would try it. I did about 20 examples of negatives, and I was satisfied that in the vast majority of cases, no one could have told it was me.
You know what, Mark? Going back to the relationship thing, though, I have found in my experience, if you have got a less than positive relationship with your manager, any negative comments from anybody will be assumed to be you. So language or not, wording or not, if you are a person that has a negative relationship with your manager, the moment they read a negative thing, that was Sarah. Whatever. You know what? She's just the worst.
She's not that good.
Yeah, exactly. So the negatives are going to be attributed to you if you're the one with a negative relationship compared to the others on the team.
And you're more likely to give a negative score if you have a negative relationship. And so they're justified in their stupidity.
Right. So plug for build a better relationship with your manager.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Absolutely.
Because you don't want other people's negative comments to be attributed to you when you didn't even write them.
Yeah. Okay. Next, we want to avoid bottom rankings almost always. By the way, the majority of people who are going to be providing this input to whoever you're being asked to provide input upon are probably not listening to this guidance, and you'll understand why that's relevant here in just a sec. If the form you're using uses a standard Likert scale, 1 to 5, you've got to avoid 1s and 5s. Now, if you have a great relationship with the boss and you want to give them a 5, okay, fine.
Assuming 5 is high.
5 is high, yeah. They stand out. And if you're not careful, 1s and 5s require written elaboration. You may not realize that. So if you mistakenly put a 1 and they say a comment is required for that answer, whereas on other ones it hasn't been, then you know you probably ought to change your rating. And again, you could, of course, write in nothing further or nothing to add if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm. And it'll be a real test at the end to see whether or not someone's followed up on your
comments. Let me give a more specific example, okay? One of the things we're going to talk about in the REA at the last part of the cast is about the issue of not just anonymity, but the appearance of anonymity. There are rules generally accepted among people who do 360s, and that relates to an external person doing the 360, about how many directs or how many people you have to ask before not just anonymity scientifically, numerically, but also the appearance of anonymity, how many directs or how many inputs at the level from peer or subordinate are necessary to protect each one of those people. So I used to give the example of a boss who has 3 really good employees. And let's say he or she does one-on-ones and do skip levels maybe, and are well-regarded and have an open-door policy and are generally easy to get along with. They're knowledgeable about their task and they love their people and so on. And forget for a moment that there's one person who's not doing well. They may be doing average, but there are 3 really, really good people that work for them out of 4. Those 3 people give your boss a 5, okay? And then there's one person who gives a 1. Now, of course, your boss is not going to see that. Your peer is not going to see that. But let's just do the math, okay? I think the number, by the way, is 3. If you are 1 of 3, you definitely don't want to even skirt with any 1s at all, because nobody should be saying, if there are 3 direct reports, you'll have anonymity. It won't happen. It won't. So typically 4 is the minimum, okay? So you have 4. You got 3 5s and a 1. What does that add up to be? It adds up to be 16. And divide that by 4, and the average is now 4. Now, your boss knows he has a pretty good relationship with 3 people and a less than great relationship with 1. Your boss, I promise you, I've seen it done. I've seen people write out 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 and do the math. They know there were 3 5s and a 1. Now, you might say, no, they're going to assume it's four fours. No, they're not. Going back to our earlier thing, here's a guy with 17 superstars and one above average, and he's immediately on the above average thing. I cautioned him pretty strongly about that. He still remembers the incident because I saw him recently, and he's one of my very favorite people in the world. And I assure you, almost no one in the world has ever thought of doing the math of what anybody else has ranked somebody on and then putting themselves at one extreme and understanding what that will do to the average. People look at the number and they guess, okay, in order to get a 3.66 average, that would require these four numbers. Because you've got such a small range, you can only get 16. I suppose you could, there are some others, but 16 is very hard to get, except with three fives and a one or four fours. Okay. And, or you might get 3.69 as an average, but that's not four. And people are very sensitive. So they're not going to think that there were four fours. They're going to assume there were three fives and that you gave them a one. Now, is this fair? No. Is it real? Yes. And a one to most people feels like, wow, that's a harsh, that's a shot across the bow kind of thing. So you might think at four, you're protected, but you're really probably not. And that's the guidance. We remember our primary guidance is to reduce your own risk. Now, if there are 10 people providing input, sure, fine, no problem. But be careful, okay? There are people who don't fill it out. So if there are five and you say, well, I'm starting to get more protective, I wouldn't do it at five either. I might do it at 10, but only after I check with a couple people that they had done it and that it was accepted that they had to do it, or that we heard you are going to be required to do this and you're going to be given 3 weeks to do it and you'll be getting a report every week about who didn't do it. Now you could say, okay, there's going to be 10 people in this survey. I can give a two. And because there are so many permutations, so many combinations there, with all the numbers that they can't ferret out one, two, but they can ferret out ones if there's only four people. And so you got to be careful about that.
Exactly. Okay. So folks, now I want to just jump in here in defense of the bosses, maybe a little bit. We've been pretty hard
and
on
peers,
the bosses.
Remember, and peers, peers too.
We've been pretty hard on the other people. And let's remember, you, the person who is ranking another individual, you're not perfect either. Your perspective is not perfect. There are things that that other person, your boss or your peer, know that you don't know, and that thing causes them to behave in ways that make sense to them and not to you. Further, maybe your boss isn't really the worst boss ever, which is how that five or one is received as best or worst. It's not received likely as bottom 20%. It's received as the worst ever. Yeah, exactly. So unless you have 10 years or more experience than your boss, just maybe give your boss a little bit of slack. You'd want the same thing from your direct, and you will when they respond to your, when they respond to your 360, you're going to want a little bit of grace. So what we would say is just give your manager the benefit of the doubt, no bottom rankings.
Yeah, you know, it just occurred to me. I think you alluded to this earlier, Sarah. The managers who are listening to this, if they're smart, they'll realize, if I have a 360 in my future, I better build trusting relationships with my people. By the way, that means one-on-ones, right? Mm-hmm. If you're not doing one-on-ones and you don't have good relationships with your people, you're going to get hammered in a 360. And there are people who don't listen to this show, don't know that the primary guidance in giving input is to protect themselves, and they'll savage you. And by the way, if you get savaged, your boss and your boss's boss are going to be involved.
Yeah.
No question about it. Okay. So therefore, let's remember the next piece. Consider your relationship with your boss. And hopefully it's obvious. If you have a less than great relationship with your boss, even if the three criteria, the REA criteria are in effect, you'll still want to be cautious. Because he's not only going to be looking, or she's not only going to be looking at the negatives and written comments, he's going to be assuming that you wrote the negative comments. Without proof that you didn't, he'll probably decide that you did.
Yeah.
And is that fair? No. Of course, we have a podcast in our politics section of the Map of the Universe that says it's not a fair world, or it's not a just world, right? Everybody wants everything to be fair. Well, fair is really good in board games. In fact, a lack of fairness in a board game is bad. But if you want human beings to be fair to one another, I would ask you, don't hold your breath, because it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And folks, I know we sound a little cynical in this cast, generally, and we're really not meaning to sound cynical.
No.
We're just expressing a reasonable prediction based on plenty of observed behaviors in the past. And we've seen it enough to know it's a real risk. So better safe than sorry.
Yeah. And look, guys, I mean, we don't think that people in our community go out and drink and drive all the time, but we would still tell you don't drink and drive. Okay. That's just it's a moral standard for being an effective part of society. And there's risks associated with driving all the time. And there's a lot more risk to you and worse to other people if you drink and drive. Well, there's risk to you and there's risk to other people. I mean, look, companies don't do a good job 99% of the time truly explaining to you. You're not going to be given. Many bosses won't do it. They'll just say, hey, there's a 360. And they don't know whether you've heard this guidance or not. The people that haven't heard this guidance don't know any better. And to me, that's an ethical failing on the part of organizations. Now, what they will say is, oh, no, it's totally anonymous. It really is. But we've just given you a couple of examples where the standards they apply may not be enough to make it anonymous to you. And look, one more thing about this. If you do have a great relationship with your boss and the three standards are in place, then okay, maybe you can mention a negative. It's okay. You can put them down for a 2 in that area. But again, we probably wouldn't write anything negative unless we did something like, in that case, great boss, you're do well, you have a good relationship with them. You might get away with saying something like, Joe is one of the best bosses I've ever had, and he knows we really wish we could spend more time with them. His schedule is so busy. I'm really not exposed to my boss as much as I should have or should be, but I understand why it's so. You know, that's like 3 or 4 caveats in there.
I know.
Right? And I think if a boss read that, he might say, yeah, okay, that's probably true. And they wouldn't be as vindictive as so many other bosses are.
Mm-hmm. And folks, just a cautionary note here about your thinking, well, my relationship's a little bit different, so I can probably mention a negative because of the relationship strength that exists between my boss and myself. An example, we get asked to review resumes all the time. We review them. We give detailed guidance. And in many cases, we get a clear sense from the resume and the person that submitted it that they're not very knowledgeable, essentially, about resumes. So for example, an 11-page resume from someone that has heard our podcast on 1-page resumes. And we give them all this guidance. And then they say, yes, but I'm the exception. And they're not the exception.
They're not.
We all want to feel like, think that, be unique snowflakes. And we're not. Like, we know in the case of this person with a really, really long resume, what they've done is they've listened to someone with an equally abysmal amount of professional knowledge around resume preparations. They've seen some other people's really, really bad resumes. And so now they've just convinced themselves that they're different. Because I'm an artist. And
yeah,
when it comes to the amount of risk associated with 360s, you could very well be that guy.
Yeah.
That person that thinks that their relationship with their manager is snowflake-esque. But you're not that special. Be cautious. If in doubt, be in doubt. Minimize your risk. Most professional skills aren't taught. You're just expected to figure them out. Career Tools provides practical guidance on communication, influence, and workplace effectiveness for professionals at every level. More tools like the Resume Workbook and Interview Series are available through our Career Tools license. And you can learn the skills your career actually depends on. Gain access now by visiting us at manager-tools.com/career.
Okay, so we've been promising this for a while, and I think if I had to write this cast again, I probably would write, hey, let's give the criteria for analysis first. I think I probably tried that, and it sounded very dry and not actionable, and we try to put actionable as much as we can at the forefront at the beginning of our cast. So we want to give you a simple way to think about the risk-reward curve. The first standard, the R of REA, is regular. If your firm routinely, usually annually, does 360s for many, if not all, managers at a certain level and above, we would characterize that as regular. That's a good sign that they know what they're doing and the process will be administered in a professional way. If, on the other hand, you've never heard of your firm doing this before, and suddenly you get an email from HR, and there's no indication that others are going through this, that is a very different kettle of fish, my friend. Your boss may have been targeted. Okay? And as I've said before, sometimes politics means we have to be careful and we don't want our fingerprints on the murder weapon. Okay? If in fact they're going after your boss or there's only two people being looked at, you should be particularly cautious because that is an irregular application. It may be that two other divisions of your company do 360s and they're working with a firm that is well-regarded like Center for Creative Leadership. That's the ones I was referring to before. Okay, that's fine, but you probably don't know that. So if it's not regular in the form of annual and, you know, and your company knows how to do it, then your company probably doesn't know how to do it.
Exactly, folks. And if you really want, to play with fire, think of each of these criteria as being on a sliding scale and add up their relative weights depending on what your firm is actually doing. We think it's suicide, frankly, but you're the one that's there. Do what you think is best. Our approach is just more of a black and white approach. Unless your firm meets all the criteria, REA, minimize risk.
Yeah, exactly. Second piece is the E of REA is external. This is my favorite part. It is the administering agent external to your firm? And it's a yes-no question. Okay. If it's being done internally, pause, or actually full stop. Even honest HR execs can be had. Politics happen everywhere. And when you understand 360s, you've listened to this cast, you understand what they are. There are people who will say, well, we can put that together. In fact, they could probably ask AI now and say, yeah. And it would say, here are 30 great 360 review questions for a manager, for a director, or whatever. Okay. The barrier to entry has lowered significantly. A good example, somebody's done it at another company. They use an external source. By the way, not all external sources are good enough, but external is one thing to look for. Internal is very dangerous. And they said, you know, I watched it being done. It's not that hard. I have mine. We can cobble together something internally here and at the company this person is now at. And it may not be HR, to be fair. We happen to like HR in many cases. It may be somebody in an operational role or a senior executive role or even just an executive role who says, I can put something together. We can use that. And they're doing that because they can't afford to have it happen externally. And I respect it, although they're probably stealing somebody's intellectual property, which I find particularly offensive. But regardless, you've got to pause. An external facilitator or resource is necessary. And here's the key line, folks. Not just for anonymity, but for the appearance of anonymity.
Yeah, exactly. And folks, I mean, with all the technology that exists in the world, you cannot assume that just because the way that you're presented with the survey, whether that's online or technically savvy in nature, is a sign of this external organization doing it. In fact, Mark, yesterday, David Renard, one of our upcoming executive speaker series speakers, he and I were talking and he asked that a couple of questions were answered by the audience before his presentation. And I'm like, sure, do you want the responses in email? And he said, you know what? I'll throw together a survey. And he created for me a survey out of, I believe, Microsoft Teams. And it was great. I mean, I could tell it was made by him after he and I just talked about it, but he literally threw it together in 5 minutes. So I can't even imagine what a technically savvy individual who's got time to spend on making it look good could make it look like.
Yeah, you're right. And online, doesn't mean anything, because all it does is make it easier for some executive way up there to drill down and find negative comments and then say, I want to talk to these three managers. It just makes it faster.
Faster, exactly. Ease of delivery and analysis. Again, folks, in order to meet this criteria of external, it must be delivered by a third party, external from the organization altogether.
Yeah. And if you don't get briefed well, if you're not sure the external party, I mean, you could do a job, you could do an online search and find out. If they seem small, if they're not nationally known, if you haven't heard their name before, those are all yellow flags. Okay, last of the criteria is anonymity, okay? Again, there has to not only be the guarantee of anonymity, which of course, involving humans, is very hard to guarantee, but you also have the perception of anonymity as well. What does that mean? Well, a lot of 360 firms will say, if you're one of four directs, most external firms are going to say four answers are enough to aggregate responses and assure responses, respondents of anonymity.
Yeah, exactly. And we talked about this earlier. That's not true. We know that that's not true. It's much, much different to be one of four directs than it is to be one of 10 or 16 directs. If you think about it this way, one of the four directs, or of them, of the four directs, one is a superstar. That superstar is never going to have anything bad to say about the boss. The other three are now fair game for the manager's post-report analysis to determine who made that written comment. And if your boss assumes that she got a five from her top performer, I mean, why wouldn't you? Do the math. There's only a certain amount of averages that are even possible from four respondents if the assumption of one of them being five is accurate.
Yeah, same exact situation we mentioned before. Folks, it's not enough to be told your comments will be anonymous. You must do the math. And what's more, you must make a judgment call about the veracity of the person who's talking, who's telling you that. Do not provide negative comments unless there are at least six directs of your boss. And you know, again, making the point we made earlier again, that all six will be required to respond to the survey. And to be honest, though, I know this from having talked to people at Center for Creative Leadership. If six people are asked, but only two people respond, because I think in Center for Creative Leadership, it's not a requirement to respond. If they get only two responses, they throw out that answer for fear that the manager will know they can figure out with two who there was one high and one low or what have you. And they don't know that that answer only had two responses rather than six. And the corresponding number for peers is five. Six to your boss, five to peers.
Yeah. So now you can see that even if we do have what is complete anonymity in the response, it's still not enough to be assured of anonymity. Right? We've got anonymity, but we don't have the perception of anonymity. So we have to be cautious and we must always minimize risk.
Okay. You want me to summarize?
Yeah. Wrap it up.
Yeah. So folks, 360s can be incredibly valuable. They're a great way for organizations to understand how leaders are experienced by the people around them, peers and subordinates. But minimizing risk, please, has to be your first priority when you're asked to participate. That means being cautious, especially so, avoiding critical feedback altogether when the process isn't regular, external, and anonymous, and two parts to anonymous and perception of anonymity. And please take extra care with written comments that are negative. Avoid bottom rankings whenever possible. Be thoughtful about how your feedback may affect your relationship with your boss. We didn't say this, but hopefully we know. Always anchor your responses in what you've directly observed yourself. If you handle your input with this level of care, 360 feedback can live up to its reputation and support growth without creating unintended consequences for you.
For you, exactly. And that's the one that matters.
Yep.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Sarah. A lot of fun. Glad to share this.
Thank you so much for joining us, folks. We hope this helped you. Now, help us help others and tell all your friends. And of course, follow, rate, and review our podcast. And remember, 5 stars only, please.